The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gif. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Have you ever thought of just getting away from it all? That's what my next guest did back in 2015. But her getting away from it all was pretty extreme by most standards. I want to play a clip from Deanne Whalen's film, 500 Days in the Wild.
Public inquiry into the deaths of Aboriginal women was resisting, but the provinces are looking to turn up the pressure.
The world had stopped making sense. And I was feeling lost too, you know, and full of anger and disappointment. So I just wanted to be alone in nature for a while. And I set out to make a documentary on the longest trail in the world.
The Trans-Canada Trail connects three oceans. There are 24,000 kilometers of trails, and I'm going to try to travel from one end of the continent to the other.
From one end of the continent to the other, with a side trip up to the Arctic Ocean. Dee, as she mentioned, covering those 24,000 kilometers, the trail's now 28,000, but still 24,000 kilometers on foot, bike, canoe, snowshoe. 500 Days in the Wild is a beautiful and exhausting postcard of our country, and I am pleased to welcome adventure filmmaker Deanne Whalen to our show. Good afternoon, Dee.
Good afternoon, Angela.
The clip I just played from your film pretty much answers my first question, the whole why. But many of us can become disheartened by the current state of the world, and we don't head out on such a journey. Why did you think it was so important to travel the Trans-Canada Trail?
That's a really great question, Angela. I mean, what the opening talked about were personal reasons why I wanted to go, but there were also professional reasons. I'm a documentary filmmaker. I've made documentaries on Mount Everest, and I've made documentary on the most northern coastline in Canada. So from that perspective, making a trail on the longest trail in the world wasn't that entirely crazy. And then mixed with the personal reasons, then it just kind of ticked off all the boxes, you know. My marriage of 13 years had ended, you know, my dog that I'd had for 16 years, Lily, had died. So the things that were holding me to one spot were gone. So, yes, on a personal level, I had the space for it and was ready for it. I like to say I checked out to check in, you know.
You had the space for it. You know, when you started this endeavor, did you have high hopes that you could actually cover all those kilometers in 500 days? Because, okay, spoiler alert, it actually took you 6 years. Were you hoping you could do this in 500 days?
Well, you know, that was the, you know what it's like, Angela, right? So we get older, but we don't always, we see it when we look in the mirror. Okay, I'm getting older, but our spirit doesn't always catch up to the body. You know, like, you can still be really excited and get pumped on your ideas. And so, you know, it was a little bit of a reality check for me when I got out there. I like to joke that it was on-the-job training. But in so many ways, the fact that I had to confront that was sort of the first thing that I had to let go of on this journey, and really the beginning of my healing journey, if you think about it. Because, you know, I went out there with a schedule, like a type A personality, go, you know, day one, day two, day three. And by day 10, when I realized, yeah, this is make-believe, like, you were coming nowhere close to meeting these goals, and I had to just have that hard conversation with myself, like, well, why am I out here? You know, what are we doing here? And it's like, well, I came out here to heal, and I came out here to make a film. So what does, like, quantifying this journey in terms of how fast or how hard have anything to do with that? So, yeah, I burned the schedule that day. And really, when I look back at it, Angela, like, that's what brought more meaning to the journey. Because at that point, it became not about the fastest way, but about the most meaningful way. And just surrendering to what was unfolding and really just started the connection, you know, really started focusing on that part more, which was connection to self, connection to land, connection to water, and connection to a broader story of humanity, you know?
Yeah, your schedule may have been make-believe, but your adventure definitely was real life. I found myself holding my breath a few times, canoeing across Lake Superior, Slave River.
Yeah, I had to hold my breath for that, too.
Oh,
Angela,
my gosh.
So
I mean, I think you said, it was 3 months or a long time to do Lake Superior, but regardless.
It was like four, I think.
Again, don't worry about the schedule. But how did you overcome those fears? I should also mention that Slave River, there was a bear that you had to fire at to scare them off. A canoeist had died in a bear attack. How do you overcome those fears?
Well, you know, first of all, what I say to people is it doesn't matter if you're going to hike a kilometer or 5 kilometers or 10 kilometers. It all starts with just one step at a time, right? And that's really a metaphor for every goal in life, is if you can take a goal that you're trying to achieve and break it down into small steps, then you can probably attain that goal. So, I mean, I confronted each of these things as they unfolded. And, you know, when you're in the moment to them, they don't all, you're so there, the sort of, it's not until after that your legs get a bit shaky and you're like, whoa, that was a close call, you know. But the other thing is you develop tools to conquer your fear, right? So, you know, for some people it's prayer. For some people it's singing a song. For me, when near the beginning of my journey, when I was with the Mi'kmaq people in Cape Breton, spent a lot of time in indigenous communities as I crossed this country. And what they taught me was, you know, Deanne, you think you're traveling the old way because you're not using a motor, but actually that's not the old way for us. The old way is when you travel to say the earth is sacred, the earth is sacred, the water is sacred, the water is sacred. And if you do that, you'll be safe. And so in moments of fear, I started saying those words. If I was hiking in the woods and I was in a storm, I'd be like, the earth is sacred, the earth is sacred. And if I was on the water and I started getting afraid, it was like, the water is sacred, the water is sacred. And then I turned my fear into connection with. And all I can tell you is I never tried to logically understand this wisdom. I accepted this wisdom and I brought it into my life and brought it into my journey. And I truly believe that that's what help me through it.
My guest this afternoon is Deanne Whalen. She's a filmmaker, and her film 500 Days in the Wild starts streaming tomorrow on ParamountPlus.com. You talk about your connection with the Indigenous community. All throughout your journey, you were connecting with them. Why was that so important?
Well, Angela, I'm a settler descent in this country, and you know, I knew that they were building this trail for Canada's 150th birthday, and I love Canada. I love this land. I'm so grateful to live here. At the same time, I know that the story on this land began 12,000 years ago or more. So right from before I left, it was important to me that I honor the ancestors of this land on this journey. So I went to Haida Gwaii before I left, 3 months before I left, for a film festival. I met an Indigenous knowledge keeper there named Vern Williams, and I asked him, I said, Vern, how can I honor the ancestors of this land as I cross it? And he very painfully gave me something that was really important to him, and it was his eagle feather that he used in ceremony. And he asked me to carry this feather with me, and he taught me how to smudge so that I could ground out when I needed to on the journey. And, you know, this was a gift of kindness to a total stranger, and when he gifted it to me, and I accepted this gift, it was like with reverence for what I was holding. And I spent the next 6 years like protecting this feather on this very rugged journey. And what I didn't realize was that it would actually shape my journey, because what we carry in our hearts shapes our journey.
It's an incredible film. I love the cinematography, the photography, drone work. Excellent. So I encourage everyone, if nothing else, you just see how beautiful our country is. I'm so glad you were able to spend some time with us. Deanne, I know the film starts streaming tomorrow, ParamountPlus.com. Thank you so much for your time. And I can't even try to squeeze in the fact that those bugs drove me crazy. I can't imagine what they were doing to you. So my my hat and your bug screen protector, I'm tipping that off to you. So, Deanne, thanks so much for this.
Thank you. Well, have a great day.
Deanne Whalen joining us, and maybe I'm just going to slip in one more clip here from the film.
Go on, Black Bear. It is not running.
I know, I see that.
This is really intense, man.
Ah!
We're stuck.
We're not at Disneyland here.
No.
The that's when these massive, well, first of all, Ontario has the black flies. If you're from Ontario, you're very familiar with that. They were in a part of Saskatchewan that I swear those are those horse flies, but they were, she's canoeing and she's just grabbing horse flies out of the air to throw them onto the water. They're so massive. So I loved the film. I could not do that. And really, it took her 6 years. COVID sidelined her for a couple of months because they couldn't get into communities to be able to get any of her goods that she needed, any of the food and supplies. So 500 days in the wild, very impressive.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.